So we're continuing our sermon series, Get in the Game. We're trying to talk about how it is that we can move from being fans to followers of Jesus Christ. And we're using this imagery of sports because it's always a good time to start thinking about football season as opposed to, well, what's left of our baseball season. Last week, we looked at prayer, and we talked about different ways that we could pray, and I encouraged y'all to experience at least one new way to pray this week. I hope that you did that. Once we get that labyrinth fully completed, that will be a wonderful, welcoming way to experience prayer. So today, we're going to be talking about service, and we're going to be getting at it in a different way. In fact, the scripture that you're going to hear Gwen read in a moment isn't going to have the word service in it. Instead, it's going to describe what Jesus was like. And as you hear Paul speak about what it was about Jesus that enabled him to serve us in the most powerful way possible, I hope that you hear for your own self direction for how it is that you can serve others in the best way possible. So, Gwen.
Today's scripture reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, for all of you Chiefs fans out there, what is the name of the most famous play in Chiefs history? Yes. Did you say 65 toss power trap? Super Bowl IV, the Chiefs versus the Vikings. Coach Hank Stram was approached by Steve Sable of NFL Films and said, "Hey, coach, it's never been done before, but can I put a mic on you?" Well, the Vikings coach refused outright. But Stram agreed on the condition that the guy from NFL Films would give him $750 in cash before the game even began. And that was a lot of money back then. And the cash was delivered, and so Stram was wearing the microphone. So there was a fumble on the Vikings side, and so the Chiefs had possession of the ball. Lynn Dawson, who was the quarterback, was told by Stram to do the 65 toss power trap. Here's what happened. Dawson received the snap. He faked a pitch to fullback Wendell Hayes, who broke towards the left sideline. Dawson then pivoted and handed off to halfback Mike Garrett. While all this was going on in the backfield, the right guard pulled out of his normal position, and instead of blocking straight ahead, he crossed behind the center to the other side of the formation to deliver a block for Garrett, who walked into the end zone virtually untouched. This play cemented the Chiefs' lead, and they won Super Bowl IV, 23-6. So all of that was going on for what looks like it was just sort of a simple lucky play. So now that you know what really happened, watch it again. All right, so did you catch all that time? So what might look like a simple lucky play was actually the result of lots and lots of planning and teaching and practicing. It took lots of people moving many different directions, and if any one of them had not gotten their piece of the puzzle done, then 65 toss power trap would not have happened in the same way. And not only did they have to do their own job, but they had to keep adjusting for any changes that might be happening in the other team. So as we go on this series with Get in the Game, I want to remind you what any spectator or athlete knows, that team sports involve a team. They involve people working together for a common goal. If you're a ball hog, or even if you're good, it won't be any fun to watch, and you probably won't stay on that team long. If Lynn Dawson had ignored the coach's call to do 65 toss power trap and instead had held on to the ball himself so that he could run across the end zone with it, then what would have happened? Nothing. It likely would not have succeeded, and we wouldn't be watching that play today. And so when you hear Paul say, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others." Paul is saying that the best way to get into the game is to play on the team, to look out for others with humility and love, and to ask yourself what is best for everyone. And we see this throughout Scripture, this notion that we need to be part of a bigger whole, that we shouldn't be looking out for number one, but that we should be looking out for others. Jesus talked about a party that somebody had, and in that day when there was a dinner party, the head table would be where the most honored people were, and how far you were down the other table from the head table represented your status in that room. And Jesus told about the man who came to one of those parties, and he took himself and he sat himself at the head table. And then the host showed up and looked around and said, "What in the world are you doing sitting at the head table? You're supposed to be all the way down in the cheap seats all the way down there." And the man, not only did he have to move, but he was humiliated in front of everybody. And Jesus said, don't be like that. Be humble. He said, when you get to the parties, start at the lowest seat. And then if you get moved up, then that's good news, but at least you don't get moved down from trying to make too much of yourself. And so he ended that parable by saying, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We see this theme throughout Scripture. In James 1:4, Scripture says, but God gives all the more grace. Therefore, Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the scripture that James was referring to could have been many places, including from Proverbs 22:4, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Because if we live a life that is humble, if we know who we are with regards to God, then our life will be full of honor and life and those riches that are most important in God. There are more places. In Romans 12:3, Paul says, for by the grace given me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Don't think of yourselves too highly. And he goes on in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3, I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then you add to that where we started with Gwen, where do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. You see the theme there, humility. And notice what I'm saying today as we talk about service. Are we looking today at 100 different ways to serve? No, we're not. Although we could, we've got plenty of good ways to serve. Our literacy volunteers, our new Wednesday night community meal that we're starting this week. Our youth leaders, always there's a need there. Our Tuesday morning work team for people who like to come and fix up things around the church. Our Hillcrest Ministries, where we help people transition from homelessness to having a home. Our United Methodist women, our United Methodist men, and the myriad of service ministries they all do. There is so much going on, and we can talk about that, but not right now, not this morning. But today, the most important thing is this attitude of service which is this attitude of teamwork, which is this attitude of humility. Because if we can get that one thing right, I believe God can use us in so many ways. Wherever God sends us, we can serve if we have that attitude of humility. I mean, think about it. It doesn't matter how great your throwing arm is, or what a great receiver you are, or how fast you can run down that football field. If you're not willing to be part of the team, if you're not willing to do what's better for everybody, if you're concerned only about your own stats, then you're just not going to be of much use to the team, are you? Mike Krasinski, a basketball coach, says, "To me, teamwork is the beauty of our sport. When you have five acting as one, you become selfless." And you know what that's like when you've seen it, or when you've been on one of those teams, or even the way the band plays together, where everybody's working together in the same sync. They hit that sweet spot and you can feel it. And it feels good, and you know that things are right and things are happening. And it's not that you've got that one fabulous play, but that everybody works together. And working together, when nobody has to be the star, then amazing things happen. I've heard a couple of ways just this week that have brought that to life for me. Earlier this week, I got to share in a celebration of life for one of our beloved members, Harry Bennett. And in this space, a man stood up. And Harry, you may not have known, worked for Kent Feeds. He was a salesman and moved up to ultimately become vice president. In his days as a salesman, he was an excellent salesman, and he often would train other young salesmen. So one of those former trainees stood up here and shared with us that he loved working with Harry, that Harry taught him so much about sales and feed. But the day came when that young man realized that he wanted to go to law school instead. And he dreaded telling Harry, because he really liked Harry a lot. And Harry had invested so much time and energy. And this young man knew that not only would it be a loss for Harry, but it also would be a loss of all that time that he'd invested. And he thought that Harry might be irritated, perhaps angry at having to backfill the position and start all over again. And so the day came, and he told Harry, and he wasn't sure how Harry would respond. And Harry looked at him and smiled. He said, "You have made a great decision. This feed business is not for a young man with a family. You are doing a great thing." And he encouraged him. And the man said they went on to continue to be great friends throughout his life. And that man went on to go to law school and ultimately become a judge. And I know that it was that man's smarts that got him in and through law school. But don't you know that it was Harry's encouragement that kept him going, that helped him become as good as he was? You see, Harry was able to see beyond the short-term reality that he was going to lose somebody he liked, a good salesperson. And he looked beyond what he was going to lose and instead looked to what that man was going to gain. And isn't that humility? Isn't that service? I saw another example this week in a 17-year-old girl, young woman named Maddie Wilford. She was one of the victims and one of the survivors of the Parkland school shooting. She had been shot multiple times, was rushed to Broward Health North Hospital in critical condition. They rushed her into surgery, and they managed to save her life. Now, to be that age and to go through a school shooting, you would think you would never want to have to think about it again, that you would avoid anything that would trigger those memories and that pain and that fear. Well, Maddie has become a volunteer intern at Broward Health North. She's willing to go back and be an active volunteer at that very place where every time she walks in the door, don't you know that it has to remind her of what she lost and that terrible day, but she goes. She says, "With my injuries, I should have been dead. The work they performed on me and how quickly I recovered, it made me become more interested in helping others." You see, it's out of her own injuries that she is willing to help others. Isn't that what true humility is? Isn't that what true service is? Not that we're better than anyone else, but because we, out of our own places of hurt, that we care about other people, that we want to help other people. You see, none of us is self-made. We are who we are. We are where we are because of other people all along our path. And if we remember that, if we can regain that knowledge, then we can be intentional about living that way for others, to lift them up, to serve them as they move along their path too. In times such as these, in days such as these, the way of Christ more than ever provides a way forward. You see, I believe that we're so divided, we're so conflicted in so many ways as a nation and from one another, and I believe that we need this path forward, this way of Christ, because if we live a life of humility, if we do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, if we don't think too highly of ourselves, if we live with one another with all humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, if we do all that, then aren't we offering the world a way to live that offers joy and hope and promise? You may open up the newspaper and turn on the news or turn on your computer on the internet and think there is no hope for us. But I say there is hope. And the hope is this way of love one another, loving one another, living with true humility, looking to the needs of others, offering a life of service, lifting other people up. We are needed so desperately these days, and I believe that we are what the world needs. So may you become fully yourself through living a life of humility. May you serve other people. May you be a beacon of light and of hope and of joy in a world that needs it so desperately. May that be who we are, people who are humble and loving in the name of Christ. Will you pray with me? Oh God, you have set before us a challenging path. It would be so easy for us just to fall into the ways of self-aggrandizing. It would be so easy to return to others what we get from them. But God, make us people who are humble. Make us known for our willingness to look out for what's best for other people. May we put aside our own egos, our own need to succeed, and may we instead seek only to be faithful, humble followers of yours. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.